Hi, my name is Vanessa Vallalee and I'm founder and CEO of We Are Tech Women. It gives me great pleasure to introduce you to season 3 of She Talks Tech, the We Are Tech Women podcast. What a season we've got lined up for you. Over 20 episodes talking all things tech from the front to the back of the industry. We've created this podcast for you to keep you informed, to keep you insightful, and to keep you motivated in your tech career. I hope you enjoy it. Today we hear from the incredible Maria Butkvik, founder and CEO of Women of Wearables. Once considered a niche market, femtech is one of the fastest growing health tech industries, estimated to reach $50 billion by 2025. With a surge of innovations in fertility, menstrual health, sexual health, pregnancy and menopause, Maria discusses how the rise of women in the tech movement has led to women building femtech products that solve real problems using technology as an enabler. Maria just shares her insight into how the tech industry is delivering next-generation solutions to female health issues that have been neglected and under-researched for far too long.
Hello, everyone. My name is Maria Butkovic. I'm founder and CEO of Women of Wearables. And the topic I'll be talking about today is very close to my heart, and it's going to cover the rise of the femtech industry. Why is it now the right time to invest in that space, and why you should be knowing more about femtech? But a little bit about me before we kick off. I'm founder and CEO of Women of Wearables. Women of Wearables is a global organization for women in emerging technology, such as wearable tech, health tech, femtech, with more than 20,000 members globally. Please do check us out at womenofwearables.com. We do lots of interesting things. I also write for Forbes. My area of focus for Forbes is women-led health tech, femtech, tech companies in general. And my sweet spot is fundraising and investment in that space. I'm also a startup mentor and advisor. I work with several startup incubators and accelerators, primarily focusing on support for female entrepreneurs. I'm a big advocate for diversity in tech. I think that personally, if we can get more money to women, if we invest in more female-led businesses, if we support more women in tech in general, the whole industry will really hugely benefit from that. And before I got into tech, for 8 years, I was a corporate lawyer. So I had my career change in 2014 when I completely changed what I was doing. I'm self-taught in marketing and PR, and my journey in tech actually started as a startup founder of a wearable tech business, which led me to start Women of Wearables. So I definitely wear multiple hats, I would say. I love what I'm doing. I've met many incredible people throughout my work in tech. So I want to open with a really amazing quote by Michelle Obama saying, communities and countries, and ultimately the world, are only as strong as the help of their women. And this is very, very important to highlight at the very beginning, because when you think about it, women's health is not only women's health. Women's health really affects everyone, affects families, affects children that we have, affects our partners as well, even parents, because in many cases, women are primary caregivers. We have to think about women's health in a very, very holistic way. And not only in a sense of a reproductive health, we have to think about overall women's health. So femtech is a term applied to a category of software, diagnostics, product, services that use technology to focus on women's health. So it can be anything from fertility tracking, period tracking apps, pregnancy and nursing care, women's sexual wellness, sex tech, reproductive health care, but also it is relevant for non-reproductive healthcare issues and challenges women are facing, like Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, cardiovascular diseases, and so on. There's an estimate that the industry is $50 billion worth, that the market will be worth by 2025. And I think that's an understatement. I think it's going to be worth much, much, much more. And what I just mentioned about the healthcare decisions in the US at least, but it's probably very similar in the rest of the world, 80% of healthcare decisions are made by women. So you can check more about this in a really cool report by Frost and Sullivan from 2018 that really covers this topic in more detail. When you think about women, we have to think about women in the context of participation in the workforce as well, and how that affects the healthcare industry. So 65% of healthcare employees are women. as we climb up on the ladder, 33% of senior executives are women, and only 13% of CEOs in the healthcare space are women, which is such a shame because women are 50% of population on this planet. We cannot be niche. So it should be reflected in the workforce as well, and not only at the bottom level, but also on the higher level as well. The importance of women's health hasn't been under such of a limelight, so to say, only until maybe 15, 20 years ago. If before that, women haven't even been mandated to be included in medical and clinical research and trials because of our hormones, because we have been seen as, you know, someone who is due to hormonal fluctuation and cannot rely on the data that will come out of the research and trials. So most of the medical research was done on men, and even research that was done on animals, you know, male species were used. So only in 1994 in the US, National Institutes of Health really mandated that women have to be included in clinical trials. And ever since then, that has started the whole surge's eruption of new trends in the healthcare space that include women. Unfortunately, that hasn't translated into funding and investment that goes to women's health. So only 4% of the overall funding in the healthcare space goes for research and development for women's healthcare products and services. And this is due to many reasons, which I will cover in the next few minutes. But I would say that raising awareness about the importance of women's health has helped to, you know, slowly speed up that process, but we are still far away from how it should look like. So interestingly, there was a really interesting research a couple of years ago. Kaufman Foundation did a research and they analyzed private companies that had women at the helm. And they actually concluded that 35 higher return on investment is achieved in the companies that have women at the helm rather than those led by men. But again, that doesn't translate into number of dollars going in and pounds and whatever going to female-led companies and investment in those companies. And in 2018, only 2.2% of VC funding went to female founders. In general, when you think about it, a smaller proportion of that is femtech. So you can imagine how tiny, tiny amount of money actually went to women's health companies. Again, a bit of a grim statistic, but we have to say this. 80% of healthcare VCs have never invested in healthcare products for women. They have never invested in femtech products. They have never invested anything that is relevant to female health. And this is just the reality, right? Investors very often are male. They don't understand the problems and challenges women are facing. They are not convicted that it's a problem big enough for them to invest. In many cases in our community, because we have a lot of femtech founders globally, the feedback that we get when we talk to them, you know, what are the main obstacles? What are the main issues when you try fundraise? And they just say, you know, investors think we are niche. They don't think it's a problem big enough for them to invest. They don't think that this is relevant enough. They don't even see this as a problem, which is horrible, right? Like if even like 1% of women is experiencing certain issues, then it's a problem and we have to address it. So this is unfortunately the reality of the world we live in, but there are many, many more VCs these days who are increasingly looking at investing in femtech, who are really interested in femtech, who really think that it deserves to get more visibility and money. Like one of the companies that we have worked in the past, Portfolia, they have specific femtech fund. They are from the US and actually they just launched a second femtech fund to invest in femtech startups. So definitely check them out. Women in VC, one of the problems why not enough money is going to female-led businesses, to femtech businesses for that matter, is because there are not enough female investors in the venture capital space. So in the US, for example, and again, it's very similar in Europe and UK, only 4.9% of VC partners are female. And out of that, only 0.2% of VC partners are Latinas and Black women. So it's definitely not diverse. You know, I always say, you know, VC industry is very pale, male and stale, and that's the reality. It is. So we have to approach the problem of lack of investment for female businesses from the top, not only from the bottom. There are many amazing startup founders who deserve money, more and more of them actually. But if we don't get more women in venture capital space to invest in these businesses, to understand how these businesses work, to understand these ideas, then the progress will be very, very slow. On a bit of a brighter side, one of the reasons why investors should invest in femtech, 2/3 of femtech founders are women. And there's a credible surge of patents in the femtech industry over the past 10, 15 years. So on average, 90% of inventors cited on patents are women on average in other industries. In femtech space, it's 35%. So by investing in femtech, we are not only investing in new emerging sector, we're also investing in female founders. So I want to share with you some interesting new products that are out there that can give you a bit of a clearer picture what femtech is. There's a whole variety of sex tech products, apps, new generation sex tech toys, some really, really cool companies in that space, YBO, Laura, DiCarlo, MJoy. Royal National Institute of Blind People recently launched a Design for Everyone campaign. It's a new innovative pregnancy test for blind and partially sighted people. I wrote about them for Forbes. There's a whole new range of wearable breast pumps from brands such as LV, Willow. LV is a UK brand, and they do some incredible things for maternal health. Some of the biggest opportunities that I would say in the femtech space at the moment are menopause. Menopause, according to the Female Founders Fund report, it's a $600 billion opportunity for companies. It's a really area that has been completely overlooked. There's a lot of movement in femtech space regards to fertility, pregnancy, contraception as well, but it's definitely not enough for menopause. There still needs to be more around maternal mortality crisis. In the US, for example, they have one of the worst maternal mortality rates in any developed country. Black women, for example, there are 3 to 4 times more likely to die during birth than white women. So there's a lot of interesting solutions for that out there. Support for aging women. There needs to be more support for aging women for conditions such as Alzheimer's, osteoporosis. So this is not necessarily related to reproductive health, but it's still a major issue that affects a lot of women globally. So the main challenges remain still taboo. You know, there's still a lot of people who consider it to be a taboo if we talk about female sexual health, about female pleasure, about, you know, reproductive health. It's still a men's world and there's a lack of data. But a lot of these challenges are also opportunities, right? Because benefits of the femtech space are that it's filling in gaps in women's health data. There's a massive gap and femtech is actually addressing that and solving that problem. Femtech is helping with prevention. If we can use innovative solutions, femtech solutions, we can prevent certain conditions, diseases, illnesses, ease the burden on the healthcare system. And also, I think femtech, by using the technology, is democratizing access to healthcare services, because with the use of telehealth and telemedicine in areas maybe like mental health, we can really enable anyone to get that help when they need it. You don't have to spend a ton of money going to a clinic and seeing someone in person. There's a lot of available online solutions and different apps that are really, really good that can help you address your challenge. Some trends that I see this year, again, fertility is a big area. There's a whole range of new fertility solutions out there, from devices that you can literally blow and based on your saliva and your breath, they can analyze your fertility days, to all sorts of different contraceptives as well. Non-hormonal contraceptives are a big trend now in the femtech space. Data collection, any company that will focus on data collection definitely will have the benefit of contributing to the industry in a meaningful way. And it's definitely something that will convince investors to invest, I think. Infant nutrition hasn't been disrupted for many, many years. When you think about baby formula milk, that hasn't been disrupted. So there are many interesting companies popping out. One of them is Bobby in the US, if you want to check them out. Mental health, again, as I mentioned, a whole new range of telehealth, mental health solutions, a very interesting startup, mental health startup, in, for example, in the US, SESH. There's also a whole range of companies that are supporting families and women through fertility and healthcare benefits. So they're addressing employers' challenges for their employees, but also they are focusing on employees. Really interesting companies in that space in the UK, for example, are Fertifa, Happy Health. Sex tech is a massive industry. There's a lot of interesting companies in that space. So definitely industry is booming, a sector is booming. A little bit about us. So as I mentioned at the beginning, we are a global organization aiming to inspire, connect and support women and allies in emerging technologies, and women's health and femtech is one of the key areas for us. So we have a lot of interesting startups in our community globally, regularly run webinars and conferences focusing on health tech and femtech. So as I mentioned, community building, virtual events. If you go to our website and to our Eventbrite page, we have lots of activities. We do a lot of partnerships and collaborations, one of them being with We Are Tech Women, because we really think that collaboration is the key to not only raising awareness for what you do, but also helping your audience, you know, find out about what's out there. What are the companies that can, you know, help me on my journey, whether it's building a company or starting a company or just, you know, healthcare issue or anything else like that. Yeah, we have worked with a lot of corporates, not-for-profits, universities, investors. We have a lot of investors in the community. So partnerships and collaboration are one of the key areas for us. And I want to finish today by a really amazing quote by Cynthia Nixon that says, women's health needs to be front and center and often isn't, but it needs to be. And I totally agree with that. I think that, you know, by addressing this burning need for innovative solutions for women's health, you know, the whole healthcare industry will benefit, because it's not only about, you know, let's solve the issue. It's about missing really good business opportunities. So I think that by investing in women's health space, investors will benefit by, you know, opening the whole blue ocean of, you know, incredible opportunities, but also users, end users like myself or many other women out there who might not have need traditional healthcare solutions or medicine, but they still want to, you know, support themselves maybe on a daily basis or prevent certain conditions later in life. I think femtech can incredibly help with that. So technology, as I always say, is neither bad or good. It's how we use it. And I think that by using femtech and enabling use of technology in a women's health space, we can definitely enhance our lives and support ourselves on a journey that very often doesn't need to be stressful, because healthcare issues can be very, very stressful. And I think that femtech can definitely help with that. Please do reach out. If you'd like to stay in touch, you can always reach me out on my email or Twitter, connect on LinkedIn as well. Check out Women of Wearables. And yeah, thank you so much.
Maria, you are amazing. We cannot thank you enough for being a guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. And a huge thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about Maria, you can connect with her on LinkedIn, or you can visit womenofwearables.com, or you can find her on Twitter.